on the cusp of the Ashes. And Daniel Cherney also writes for codesports.com.au. He'll be across the cricket in detail coming up. And there's plenty to write about. Dan, how are you, mate?
Yeah, well, yourself, guys?
Good. Going good. Well. I think Fletch has a question for you first.
No, I was just asking, Daniel, I understand the nuptials aren't too far away.
Oh, well, you're very well informed. Yeah, no, a couple of weeks away.
Yep.
Which actually is why I will not be, you won't see me writing much about the Adelaide Test match. Very, very close. So exciting. I hope it goes well.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what day are you getting married? Because this has been a lot of conjecture about people who get married on Fridays, people are getting married on Sundays, not the traditional Saturday. What day are you getting married?
Tuesdays.
Yeah, no, we are a bit unorthodox in this respect. We're getting married on a Wednesday on the 15th of December. Part of the thought was that time of the year, well, when we booked it in, it was getting pretty tough in terms of, well, you know, there was a bit of a backlog with COVID weddings. So there wasn't too much in terms of weekends. And we thought, you know, at that stage of the year, people are already half checked out of work anyway. You know, they can take an afternoon off.
Yeah.
Come down. So that's what we've done.
Well, given the fact that what we've sat through for the last 18 months, it doesn't matter what day you put it on. If there's a party on and a wedding to celebrate, I'm sure people come from everywhere to get there.
When you're a journo, and especially a writer, is there pressure with your speech?
To get it right.
To get it, well, to just blow everyone else off the park?
Mm. Probably not as much pressure as there would have been for someone like Adam. But, yeah, I think there is. I suppose there is. I hadn't thought of it like that.
I don't want to get in your head.
No,
I don't want you to stuff it up, but I'm just making sure. I want you to get lucky on your wedding night. That's what I want.
Pledged here. I'm reasonably confident I'll be able to nail it. So, maybe now that I've been sledged about it, it should be all right, mate.
The juveniles in here are making sure that you're talking about your speech there, Daniel. But we're going to move on right now and talk about the fact that Alex Carey is going to make his test debut at the Gabba. Give us the background on this. Was this always going to be the moment that Tim Payne was in trouble and then obviously ruled himself out? Was it a fait accompli that this guy was going to have the gloves for the Gabba test?
I don't think it was completely a fait accompli, or I don't think it was a fait accompli. I think he was always the front runner. And I think it was always likely, and I don't think it. Only the selectors all know exactly how close it got to being Josh Inglis, but I think Carey. The thought was the whole way along. Once there was some doubt over the over Payne's availability because of the scandal, it would be Alex Carey, and so it's proven. I think it's a sensible decision. Well, Josh Inglis is a very good young player and had a good couple of years. He's on the right path. But Carey has sort of been the next in man in line for so long now. It would have been and has done little wrong. Probably hadn't been in absolutely red hot form, but by the same token, hadn't been absolutely battling either. They'd made runs on the weekend, and I just think it was the right call. He'd been. It's easy to forget, actually, that 4 years ago when Tim Payne, and we know now infamously that coincided with him actually having the infamous text exchange with the then Cricket Tasmania staffer, which would end up getting him in all this hot water, that when he sort of leapfrogged that pack to get into the Australian Test team out of the blue after 7 years, one of the guys he leapfrogged was Carey. The narrative, at least from a media perspective at the time, heading into that Ashes series, was that it was a three-way race for the gloves between Peter Neville, who had been the previous keeper before Matthew Wade, who was the incumbent at the time, but had struggled, and particularly on the tour of Bangladesh, and Alex Carey, who was coming with a rocket and had a very good season for South Australia, Carey, probably none of them, well, clearly none of them did enough in that period. What's interesting this time, though, with Carey is that he probably benefited a bit from missing out on the T20 World Cup squad. So Inglis gets the go as the backup keeper to Matthew Wade. goes over to the UAE. Kerry had been in that white ball setup for a long time, so disappointing to miss out. But it probably helped him because Inglis hasn't had the chance to make any runs. He's barely played, and that's what's probably helped.
Absolutely.
Kerry the nod.
Yeah.
Daniel, what are you hearing about the Test match being moved to Tasmania?
The fifth one.
No Perth in the Tassie.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's oscillated a lot, this situation.
Good word, by the way. Oscillate.
Fantastic word.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
You're going to nail this speech. Oh,
I'm going to throw that in there now.
Churchillian.
No, I think it's, clearly, you know, coming into the summer where the closer we got, given the WA border situation, it was going to be immense doubt. And after Mark McGowan's insistence that there be 2 weeks quarantine for everyone coming in, it was pretty much all over. Then obviously the race for the fifth test and who was going to replace him, it was on in earnest. And it seems like the lead, I mean, I think Tasmania had been the long-time favourite. And then I had that statement last week following the pain issue from their board, and it felt as though, no, that can't be good. It can't help their cause. And they felt like Perth was going to keep it, but then they're not. And then the MCG was seen as the front runner, and the SCG in there as well. And they thought it might be easier just from a logistical perspective to keep it with somewhere where it had already been, keep the show sort of on the road at the venue where there'd already been a test match. But just today again, Tassie seems to be back squarely in the mix. So look, I don't know for sure. I think there's a moral argument to say Tasmania should host it. I mean, it should be from a fairness perspective. Tassie have had actually precious little international cricket in recent years. The critics will say, oh, they don't have great crowds when there's a match down there, and that is largely true.
But this would be different.
That's also like they also have barely. They don't get marquee tests for the most part. The last test that was there was the one where I touched on Peter Neville earlier. That was the infamous, I think it was 91 or 88 all out from Australia, and that was against South Africa where they sort of dropped about four or five players following that test, and it was a bit of a turning point, arguably for the worst on a couple of fronts. So, yeah, it's look. I think Tassie deserve it as much as a parochial Victorian. I'd love to see a second test here and to have especially a chance for a pink ball match. But you know, I think they should share the love, and the pain issue shouldn't stop Tasmanian public from seeing some test cricket.
Well, up on Code Sports right now, there's a stack of articles from an English perspective as well. We've got Michael Atherton up there, and also article on Usman Khawaja and everything in the lead up to this first test. Daniel Cherney, who's going to miss the second test, but he's going to have his honeymoon at the third test at the MCG. That's where he's taking his, bride to. Yeah, it's a beautiful moment. Dan, looking forward to reading everything on Code Sports, and thank you for joining us, mate. Take it easy and good luck with the speech preparation, and Fletcher's available if you need any tips.
No, I appreciate it, Fletcher. I'll be in touch. Thanks, guys.
Hang on, Dan, before you go, what's your wedding song? What are you going down with?
Yeah.
We haven't actually decided. We haven't quite nailed that down. And, you know, I feel like I'm host here, but, you know, any suggestions, call in and,
Wedding songs, exactly.
Do you remember yours, Ads?
Nope. 16 years ago.
So. No, mine is Stevie Wonder.
17 years ago. Stevie
Isn't
Wonder.
Isn't she lovely?
Yep. Isn't she lovely? Yeah. No, it wasn't. No, what's the other one? No, it wasn't.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
So, yes, it was. Signed, sealed, delivered, yeah. And the bloke who sang it, his name was Slide McBride. That was his band. Yeah, this was our...
Outstanding.
What are those people... Dan, I hope you're not one of those people. What are those people that go and get lessons to do a fancy dance?
Yes, the waltz.
You know those people? Not the waltz. They go and like come up with their own...
Choreography.
Yeah. Choreography. Yeah. A grades. Apologies, Dan. Apologies if you're an A grader. See you, brother.
God bless. See you, guys.